Me too. Can you bow your heads, please? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from heaven. These great people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, O God. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for pouring your spirit out upon us today, Lord, as always, that we have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. I thank you, Father God, that our hearts are open, our minds are ready to receive your engrafted word with meekness, Father God. We will mix it with faith, according to Hebrews 4:2, and we will bring forth fruit, Heavenly Father, because of John 15, and that fruit shall remain. And to you alone will be all the praise, and to you alone will be all the glory. Let all who agree with that say, amen. Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped,
and I will serve. Why do you live in sunny Southern California? Born and raised. Why did God allow you to be born here? He doesn't do anything by accidents. Some of you are in other places, but you ended up here. I was born in Louisiana. My assignment is here. Amen. Thank you, Big Ron. My assignment is here. Your assignment is here also. When I was a child, I lived in Louisiana, and of course, at that time in the 60s, it was segregated. You know, I didn't speak to a white person until I was 8 years old. I've shared that before. The significance of this is that my grandfather was a deacon in a church, and they built a church. And it actually was kind of, and I didn't think about that till this morning, it was kind of an A-frame like this, more angular, and it was bigger, probably three times as large as this. And but it was the beacon of that community, a brand new building. At that time, I mean, that was a good-looking building. It stood apart from everything else for miles around, and it was Paradise Baptist Church. My grandfather, he was a type that, you know how the people say that when the doors of the church open, people are always in church? No, he was the one that would open the doors. And he'll be the first one there, last one to lock it up. He's the one that taught my family, you don't fight with the pastor. Some of y'all didn't get that class, glory to God. Amen. And it just blessed me as I thought about my lineage and what he was a part of, something significant, something that has outlived him, because he died back in the 80s. And the last time I was there, of course I went by and saw the church is still just as beautiful and lovely. They take such great care of it. It's amazing that in a community, the most beautiful building is a church. Hallelujah. So let's get into this message today. Our scriptural text is Ephesians 4:16. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. I like to pretend he's writing a letter to the church here in Corona called New Day. And he says this here. He says, he being Jesus, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Each part has a special work. It helps the other parts to grow. So that special work helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, everything is healthy, growing, and full of love. If you can imagine, if you didn't have any arms, how difficult your life would be. If you didn't have any legs, how difficult would your life be? If you didn't have eyes, how difficult would your life be? In fact, Sister Vanessa Green wanted to sponsor a disabled person in Africa, and so we found a young man who's blind. He's in college, though. He's in a university in Malawi, and so she's going to be supporting him with his tuition. But as I looked at the young man, he's blind. It's going to be difficult for him. So for some of us, you guys are, you know, you're the eyes to the body, if you will. Some of you are the ears. Some of you are the hands and feet. And that's what the scripture is speaking of here. But I want to give you, look at the full principle, okay? Because I don't think we really fully grasp the totality of what Paul was saying here. Let me read it to you again, and I want to frame something for you. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as Corona does its special work. It helps South Africa grow. It helps Thailand to grow. We're going to have Lana Vasquez, an amazing young Latina. I mean, this lady is on fire. She's in her 30s doing some amazing thing. The government of Thailand and Myanmar have recognized her for rescuing girls out of sex trafficking. She'll be here the last Sunday of August. How many 30-something Latinos, you know, recognized by two governments? and not for their singing ability. I ain't mad at you can sing, but she's out there doing some humanitarian, some real, real deal stuff. So how can we get behind her here in Corona? We have Prince Parker, who's still doing great work all over the world. How can Corona, part of the body, do a special work so that we can be a blessing to the church we're launching in Brazil in September? September 15th will be the official launch of New Day Brazil. Do you understand? I need you guys to see the big picture, okay? Now, I know some of you is like, well, what about here? Okay, bless you. Let me help you. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. So what about here? We're working with foster kids here, okay? This Tuesday night, I know you guys will be with Prince Park. I'm going to be with some foster kids who are transitioning out of foster care into adulthood. For the next 7 months, we're going to be training them, helping them on Tuesdays, okay? I also, this last year, I worked with Santiago High School. I worked with the incoming freshmen because there was a lot of racism there. So they brought me in to work with all the kids. So I've been doing assemblies and working with those kids there, too. So that's what we're doing here in Corona. Amen? But also, too, you have like Sister Kathy Knox. She has a company called 4Core to help kids get into college, help parents navigate that whole deal. There is a lot that's going on here in this city. In fact, last night, tomorrow night, I'm on the planning commission, so we have a meeting. And bless God, only one thing is on agenda, only one thing. It's going to be a short meeting, glory. And it's a house that's being recognized for as an historical landmark, okay? And so I drove by, checked it out, look at my paperwork. I'm going to go by later on today, just scoop it out, and maybe tomorrow, and be ready for that. So, yes, we're here. This Friday night, I was attended an event the mayor had. We were talking about the state of the city. So, yes, I care about Corona, but I can care about Corona and still care about the world. And you can, too. Remember you in high school and you got busted talking to somebody that wasn't your girlfriend or your boyfriend? And you told the one you was cheating on, I love you. In your heart, you know, you love that person too. Now, when it was done to you, you didn't like it. But you used it as a justification. The point is this. We're here to help. And I believe it's one of the reasons we're so blessed. You saw some serious poverty in that video. And that was just one little area we went to. Hallelujah. We're blessed to. Glory to God. On your handout, God has given each of us something to contribute towards building up New Day and advancing his kingdom. So my title is, My Church Family Needs Me. We need every one of you. You are here for a reason. You think you're here just because, okay, the music is good. Because I ask people, the first time guest, hey, what do you love most about the service? And it's a contest between me and Pastor Todd. It's either I like the word or I like the music. I like the word. We're about neck and neck, fella. Okay. Amen. But what I want to do, just in my heart, I just, is one of my life philosophies. I try to do for others what I wish was done for me. There are some things my mom and dad missed out on. God bless them. But I believe they did the best they could with what they had to work with. And the older I get, the more I realize the struggle they faced, the time period they were born in, and they didn't have all the tools that I have available to me. So instead of whining, complaining, being sad and sorrowful, and being like a victim, I choose to be a victor, walk in the authority that I have in the name of Christ Jesus, covered by the blood and everything is washed away, and be the man God created me to be. That's my choice, not to take out my insecurities and things I didn't get and all that, on, you know, and try to be with some woman and all that. No, I'm just going to be who the Word of God says I am. That's a choice, okay? Now, in that, I believe that as I allow myself to be healed, I can see and hear the things of the Spirit better, and I can perform better. Because you cannot, you've heard me say it before, you cannot throw with a broken arm, you cannot run with a broken leg, and you cannot do life with a broken heart. So that's why Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. We only preach going to heaven, but while on earth, I plan to have life and life more abundantly. That's my intention, okay? And my intention with that life more abundantly means getting along with my wife, having some amazing kids, some awesome daughter-in-laws, and this grandbaby that just makes me melt. Loving them. Being at peace with them, and then being at peace with you too. I made mention earlier about don't fight the pastor. I've literally never had anybody argue me down or act ugly. I haven't. And in fact, I got a prophetic word. I'm going to share, I think, I forgot when, it's coming up. I'm going to share with you, I got, that actually said, because as I continue to obey, the things that have happened to other pastors will not happen to me. Amen. That's just the favor of the Lord. But I want to talk to you about our church and our ministry. I need to share some things with you guys as I get ready to meet with our advisory team as we talk about moving forward. And I want to turn, please, to 1 Chronicles. That's the Old Testament. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Turn or scroll, swipe, whatever device you got, however it is. Okay, amen. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1 through 19. There was a young man in the Bible named David. You guys know him because he killed Goliath. That's what he's known for. But later, years later, he becomes a king. Now, the thing he wanted to do, and I love the way he was thinking beyond himself. And that's why I mentioned my grandfather earlier, because what he and Pastor Flanagan and some others did with Paradise Church, they built something. They had a vision that outlived them because they're all gone. In fact, I think they're really in the third generation right now. Amen. But they laid a foundation for something that would stand. They loved their city, and they created something that would outlast them. In fact, the Word of God tells us this, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So the jury is still out on me as a father until let's see what my grandbaby does. That's Bible. Amen. So 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we're going to read all 19 verses. Verse 1, then David said, this will be the location for the temple of the Lord God. He found a place. And I believe in my heart, I found a place too. And the place of the altar for Israel's burnt offerings. Now you say, well, what's a burnt offering? Well, back then they would bring what they was valuable to them and they would take the best part and give it to God. Now, you're supposed to do the same with your finances. You don't have sheep and goats and alfalfa and barley and things to bring to the Lord. That was a commerce back then. A commerce now is finances. Now, again, I'm not, don't hold on to your wallets. Everybody's like, oh, God, he's going. No, I'm not. Next month I will, but not today. Not today. But I plan to. And so this is the place where they would bring the offerings. The other thing, too, about an offering, just to let you know what? Abel, that's what Cain and Abel got into trouble because Cain didn't bring his best. Abel did. He did. He bought his best. And you want to learn to give God your best. What it does, too, is when you're constantly giving to God and you're giving to God first, it keeps you out of selfishness, and it keeps you in faith, because when you hold on to it, that just promotes a scarcity mentality. What you're saying to God is, I don't believe you'll provide, so I'm going to keep this and work and manage it all by myself. And in all honesty, how's that working for you? So if you want to move towards from a scarcity mentality to an abundant mentality, see, the Bible says what you make happen for someone else, God will make happen for you. It's Ephesians 6:8. So here's the thing, and not that you give to get, but give, you want to give out of the goodness of your heart. And what I'm looking for is a spirit of generosity within New Day. Will we just care for one another? I mentioned last week about caring for the poor, and I got a report. Some of you guys gave significantly, and hallelujah, and I appreciate that. And we want to be able to honor and help those. Remember last week we talked about eat the fat, drink the sweet, but send a portion for whom nothing is prepared. That's how we have to live. God doesn't have a problem with you having stuff. He has a problem with stuff having you. Everybody got that? Okay, glory. Let's go to verse 2. So David gave orders to call together the foreigners living in Israel. I don't even want to touch that. This climate right there, I could preach on verse 2 right there for a long time about how to treat foreigners. But let me keep going. And he assigned them. That's why we need a kingdom party. So Democrats, don't get excited because y'all messed up too. Republicans, chill. We need a kingdom party, okay? And he assigned them the task of preparing finished stone for building the temple of God. Finished stone. He bought the good stuff. He wanted the good stuff. And that's when I thought about the church down in Louisiana. It's nice. And one of the things here, most of you guys live in very beautiful homes. I've been in some of your homes. Good Lord. I mean, it's amazing. Hallelujah. I'm glad God has blessed you. And you vacation in some amazing places. I've seen your photos. And then my intention is that you have a church that reflects that. You can't go, you know, your house here, your vacation here, your church here. It's God. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. David provided large amounts of iron for the nails that would be needed for the doors and the gates and for the clamps. He cares about the gates and the doors. And he gave more bronze than could be weighed. So there was a spirit of generosity in constructing this. Verse 4. He also provided innumerable cedar logs. That's a lot of logs. Now, here's the thing about the cedar logs. They came from Tyre and Sidon. That was the place where the cedar grew. They were known for that back in biblical times. And verse 5, David said, my son Solomon, see, he's thinking generationally now, like I am too. We want to build something that will outlive us, that will outlast us. My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced. And since the temple to be built for the Lord must be, watch this, please watch this, must be a magnificent structure. Famous and glorious in Corona. Oh, thank you, Brother Dwayne. Throughout the world. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be known. My friend, Pastor Jeff Moore, we were dedicating his building one night, and there's about 20 pastors there and our wives, and before we came out to the service, we were all in the back, and we were praying, everybody holding hands. We went in Pentecostal, called on fire prayers. And we walk outside, and there was a guy, and I didn't know him. I still don't remember his face. But he pulled me and Jackie to the side. Can I talk with you for a second? And he said, when we were praying, and this was in 2010. He said, when we were praying, I saw you and your wife. And it looked like you guys had some kind of military headquarters. And these teams just kept going out all over the world. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it does.
Glorious throughout the world. I will begin making preparations for it now. And that's what I'm doing starting today, is begin to prepare us to build our own sanctuary. Amen? Amen. So David collected vast amounts of building materials when? So this is going to be finished before I die. Okay? And I plan to really experience it long before I die. I'm 56. I'm believing for at least 85, 90 years. That's what I'm believing God for. That's what's in my heart right now. Some of y'all want to be 120, you go ahead. I'm going to see Jesus, okay? I'm good. So thinking long term about generations, there are children that have yet to be born that will benefit from this ministry. There are children that have yet to be born that will benefit from this ministry. There are children that have yet to be born that will benefit from this ministry. See, I'm going to tell you something. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. I'm telling what I see in my heart. I know for some of you, look around right now. You just keep looking, okay? But what I see is on the other side. In fact, let me have the first picture. Let me explain to you the scope of our ministry, okay? I like that sanctuary right there. I'm not into brown, and I'm not into pews, but it just looks nice. It's excellent. You know, you walk to a hotel lobby, look like that, you feel like you're somewhere, right? Hallelujah. It needs to be a magnificent structure. Amen? And even like, I was thinking about the Knox girls, you know, and Isabella, you up here, and maybe one day if you stay in Corona, because I know you miss going to go around the world with your theater stuff, but maybe you bring your troupe back here and do something here, and we have a facility that's useful for her. Amen. Next slide, please. Look, I just love that. Balcony and all that. We can make this work. We can do this. Next slide, please. Now, much as you guys like the fellowship, I notice y'all do not go home after church. I guess that's why they call it New Day Christian Fellowship. Okay, not a problem. Get the coffee bar, let you guys hang out and just kick it, you know. I had one lady told me recently, she lives on the East Coast, she said, these mega churches, they turn into business, they got coffee bars. They're employing people. Yes. It's all in how you frame it. Somebody got a job. Next slide, please. The church don't do nothing for nobody. Yeah, okay. Children's room. That's just awesome. Next one, please. Next one. Now, this one. I heard about a church. This is not it. But I heard about a church up in Washington, and I was talking with the pastor. We had a training, a week-long training in Van Nuys, and he said when the kids come into the children's area, there's like six. There's a long table with six holes underneath. The parents swipe. They got this, you know, just whatever, and prints out a receipt, and the kids jump in a tube and slide down. I'm like, I want one of those. I'm 56, but I take my shoes off and slide. Yeah, so that's like that one. They're on the second floor, and that's how the kids get down. Yeah, our kids will love this. Amen? You won't be able to tear them. And then I want to do this Friday night. It's going to be marriage night, date night. So you bring your kids here, and then the neighbor's kids come here too. And then y'all go do the love thing. You don't even have to go to a restaurant. You can just go back home. Yeah. Your pastor got your back. Good looking out, Pastor. Good looking out. Pick up the kids. The kids are like, where y'all go? Don't worry about it. Okay. Next slide, please. Next like, but then even on a library, a place where you can just lounge, you guys have your group meetings and come and just spend time. And just throughout the week, it's a place, it's a community center, amen? Next slide, please. Yeah, next one. Now, I need you to understand. So this is Brother Malik, and he's teaching there in South Africa, okay? And he shares some things with me that really bless my heart. And what he's doing here with the Brotherhood and some business ideas, he said, Pastor Tony, I want to get this out to the world. Now, one of the things that we are a worldwide ministry, we do, and I want to show you that, okay? But in order to be more effective, I want something like this. Next slide. And I think Brother Malik and others appreciate it, too. Yeah. So we have a video conferencing training room. Currently, right now, and I'm not mad, but this is what I do. On this iPad, this trusted iPad, and thank y'all for respecting it and loving it because this is my tool. I sit in my house, in my home office on Thursday mornings, and I minister to the churches in South Africa. And I come over, and I'll show you in a moment. I come over screen, and I'm schooling, and we had 188, I'm going to show you that in a second, 180 graduates from our Equipping for Purpose class. I teach leadership. Elder Abraham teaches church doctrine, and Elder Joyce teaches church administration. And we've had, I think, 8 or 9 churches have gone through that program, and then we had churches going through other programs. On Thursdays, I work with the Brazilian church. That's when I do my training there, in both of those churches. And then early Friday morning at 6 a.m., our church in the Philippines, because it's 9 p.m. there at night. So I'm up, and I'm working with international churches. Can you imagine if we had something like this and all those churches can come in over the screen? Amen. Amen. And get the trainings done that way. And also, too, with Brother Malik and others who have a global mindset, you can sit here and do all the training. He had the workshop in Africa. It was well received. Another lady from Zoe, Sister Tara Lynn, she had an amazing time. She had a lady that already started a new business, an import-export business, just from that conference. So we can touch the world from right here and build a glorious facility doing that. Next slide, please. So I want you to fully understand the New Day Ministry. So that's our church, Hope of Christ, in South Africa. The membership total right now is over 6,000, and we had 188 graduate. You see the screen in the back? That's how they see me on Thursday evenings, okay? But it's Thursday morning here here in Corona. Next slide, please. That's Pastor Godfrey. He's the senior pastor there. Next slide. Okay, that's his church there. Amen. Next slide. Amen. That's Gideon and Yolanda. There's another pastors we help, we oversee in South Africa. Next. Okay, that's Ezekiel and his wife, Viviana Procopio. They live in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I've been working with them a few years now. She's a psychiatrist. Amen. Great people. Next slide, please. Okay, that's Pastor James and his wife, Beverly Bowman. That's church in Chino. They just came up under us. Some of you guys remember we went to his installation service. Me and Elder Joyce and Elder Abraham did that. Yeah, you guys were there. Amen. Next slide, please, and thank you for ushering and helping with that. This is Pastor Eduardo and his wife, Geraldine. And they live in the Philippines doing some amazing work there. They will be here next August, not this one, the following August for my bishop consecration. They're coming in for that. Amen. You guys will get a chance to meet them. Another church we oversee. Next one, please. And so many of you guys know Pastor Mark and Michelle Greenhouse. You know, Pastor Mark is crazy. So, you get him up and preaching, you know him. You know him. We love him. Yeah, he's intense. And that's them. They have At the Cross Ministries. They're right there in Riverside. They're 3 years old now. I'm so proud of the work that they're doing. Next slide, please. And then we have Daniel and his wife, Eliechi. Amen. And this is who's going to be pastoring in a New Day Church down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So he's busy, got his team together. He already has about 45, 50 members, and they're working it. And as two of the top worship leaders going to be a part of that team down there, I'm just so blessed. So we have a team that'll be leaving here September 10th, and we're going to be doing some evangelism in that area. And then we have the special services. I'm doing some workshops for some pastors down there, but that's our Brazilian church there too. Next slide, please. And we our newest church, it's called Impact Ministries. Amen. And that's Pastor Jay and his wife, Crystal. They actually went to South Africa with us. They've been with us now 8 months, and I'm so excited about them, and we're getting them some good coaching. Pastor Chris Sonskin is coaching them now and working with them. I talked to him yesterday, and Jack and I, we're going to see them, and we're going to meet with him and his members. We're flying out, I think it's August 21st or something like that. So I want you to understand, when I talk about New Day, and that was just a quick, and that's not including the missionaries, because we have 14 we support. This is a global ministry. So why has God allowed you to be a part of this? I know when I joined Zoe, I wasn't thinking about the globe. I wasn't thinking about anybody else. I really wasn't. Alabel, go to verse 19, please. Verse 19 in there. And I just want to close with this, okay? And this is what David told Solomon, now seek the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, with everything that's in you. Build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you can bring the ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy vessels of God into the temple built to honor the Lord's name. I want to construct a place where we can honor God's name, a place that we can revere, a place that everybody are proud of. Monica Williams has a little daughter, Evie. And Evie, right? Where's Monica? Evie. And Evie, huh?
Evelyn Grace.
And she's amazing. She's seven?
Eight.
She's 8 years old. And she just got a theater scholarship. Yeah. She's something special. So just like I was talking about Isabella here, you know, who's a freshman in college right now. We want to create a place for talent like that. We want to give the youth opportunities. Also, too, with us working with the foster kids, those are transitioning, we're going to be having a lot more foster kids come to this church. We need to create space and opportunity for them. You're talking about the community. What about the Africans? What about us here? I'm working on orphans here, too. Now, I need you to work with me. If you're going to talk it, I need you to back it up, okay? And our church, too, would be an international business development training center. I see that. And a ministry training center. We have a partnership with Vanguard University that we're starting with in the spring. And we're going to need classrooms to really do just a world-class facility is what I'm looking for. My question, too, is how many more churches will be birthed out of New Day? How many more are going to come out of us? New Day is positioned to serve the local community and the nations of the world. So again, why are you born here? I know it's a little different message today, a little bit more vision casting. I just want to let you know where we're going and what's in my heart. But God is inviting you to be a part of something significant, something that's going to be great and wonderful. So I pray that you don't allow your hearts to get offended. Somebody says something, does something. You know, maybe your ministry leader didn't show up, or he didn't do this, or she didn't do this. And you have guard your heart with all diligence and understand the big picture of what God is inviting you to be a part of. It's bigger than us. If we begin to think bigger, we can do so much more. Remember, every part has a special work to do, and it helps the other parts to grow and become healthy and full of love. I want Thailand healthy, growing, and full of love. I want the Philippines healthy, growing, and full of love. I want Mexico healthy, growing, and full of love. I want Costa Rica healthy, growing, and full of love. I want Peru healthy, growing, and full of love. I want Malawi healthy. You get the point?
Yes.
Praise team, can you come forward, please? Bow your heads, please. Father God, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to do something great and grand in this community. I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for that which you placed in me and Jackie's hearts. And these leaders here, Father God, that are willing to come support.